Welcome to another edition of Money Life Weekend from Crown Financial Ministries. Dave Ball here along with Crown CEO Chuck Bentley. And in just a few minutes, we'll introduce you to our guest today, Curtis Arnold. He is the CEO of CardRatings.com, and CardRatings.com is a for-profit organization that's been educating consumers about credit cards since 1998. And we're going to talk to Curtis about the changing terms of credit cards now that some reforms have gone into effect. But Chuck, before we get to Curtis, we've got an email question about credit cards that we'd like you to answer.
Well, I'd be happy to answer that question, Dave, because the entire program is going to be about credit cards.
Well, the question is, my husband and I are currently credit card free, but we're wondering if we should have one just for emergencies. What do you think? And this comes from Melinda in Claypool, Indiana.
Well, Melinda, thanks for writing and asking. I actually think that having a credit card for emergencies is a very bad reason to have a credit card. Putting a payment on a credit card does not pay for it. It, in fact, costs you more to pay something out on a credit card. Cash makes a much better solution to any emergency that you may face. So my recommendation is to use the process we outline in the money map to save $1,000 worth of cash for emergencies, and then to build that amount up over time to 3 to 6 months of your living expenses. Now, is it okay to have a credit card for other purposes? And the answer is yes. In fact, I think that it's wise to have a credit card for a couple of reasons. Number one, sometimes when you're renting a car or other circumstances where it's necessary to have one, and then simple convenience for some online purchases. And if you're really good with managing your resources, living within your means, managing a budget, exercising self-control, then a credit card will not hurt you. You can actually carry one and avoid paying any penalty or fees whatsoever. But let me remind you, you're about to hear from an expert on the new legislation. And card companies are charging new fees, they're changing their billing practices, and the bottom line is you've got to read the fine print very carefully before you sign up for any credit card, even if it's just for convenient purposes. So my recommendation is to use cash for emergencies, and for conveniences, it's okay to have a card available. That's how we use it. We enjoy the rewards of using that card, but I'm very careful about how I manage the account with the company that issued that card.
Well, in just a moment, we'll be back with our guest, Curtis Arnold, to talk about how these new credit card reforms will affect you. You're listening to Money Life Weekend. We'll be right back.
Handling money God's way can be filled with challenges, and many questions can come up along the way. Wouldn't you like to have someone you can turn to when you're not sure what to do next? Well, you do. A Money Map Coach from Crown Financial Ministries. Money Map Coaches work one-on-one with you to develop a spending plan, get out of debt, and practically apply other biblical principles of stewardship to your everyday finances. Your coach will be with you each step of the way to help you make healthy, long-term improvements in your finances. Money Map Coaching is available in person in many areas and everywhere online. Either way, you'll get personal attention that's confidential and free. To find out what's offered in your area or to become a Money Map Coach yourself, call 1-800-722-1976 or visit crown.org. Get connected with a Crown Money Map Coach today. Call 1-800-722-1976 or go to crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and with me today is Curtis Arnold, the founder and CEO of CardRatings.com and also a friend of Money Life. Curtis, welcome back.
Hey, good to be back, Chuck. Thank you.
I know you've been a busy man with the new Credit Card Act of 2009 coming out. You're doing a lot of press conferences and interviews, but tell us about this new act. Is this good or bad legislation, Curtis?
Well, good question. I think overall it is good for consumers. You know, this credit card industry had been virtually deregulated since about 1980. And so it had gotten so bad, Chuck, it was kind of the Wild West out there where really anything went. And so if your card company woke up on Monday morning with in a bad mood and decided to double or triple your rate, you know, they could do that at any time for virtually any reason. with very little, if any, written notice. So we went from that extreme to having some definite regulation, particularly of the most egregious type practices. And I'm a big fan, Chuck, of the free market system and capitalism. But at the same time, you know, with credit cards, when the industry was deregulated around 1980, rates did fall. So that was one good thing. But what we saw over time, Chuck, was, you know, the notorious credit card fine print. We saw a lot of egregious practices. And so, obviously, you know, total deregulation didn't work. So, you know, I think what the administration has tried to do is strike a balance here and not overregulate, because I do think they were aware of the credit crunch that we're still, you know, under to a large degree, and the fact that this regulation could have a negative impact. And in fact, we have seen a lot of negative unintended consequences. And we'll get to that. But overall, I think it is a positive. And if nothing else, at least it brings more consumer awareness to this industry and to credit education and to financial literacy.
Well, there's no doubt that more awareness is necessary, because from my chair, I have heard many, many horror stories about people who didn't know the fine print and got themselves into a lot of trouble, ranging from very young people to the very elderly. So let's go over the Credit Card Act of 2009. Curtis, you're an expert on this topic. What are the main provisions?
Well, there's a lot to it. I think the key provisions involve rates and fees. You know, we went from that scenario described earlier where it's any time for any reason rate hikes. Now it's really restrictive in that the only time an issuer can raise your rate on existing balances, and let's make that distinction because, you know, you've got a balance already on the card, that's an existing balance. This does not apply to new purchases, so that's an important distinction to make. But on existing balances, the only time they can raise your rate is if you're 60 days late. So that's a far cry, Chuck, from... You know, in the old days,
anytime,
heard horror stories on cardratings.com over the years, where someone, you know, makes, let's say, 2 o'clock Eastern time was their cutoff. I'm sure you've heard these same stories. Their payment posted 4:30, same day, and they still get dinged with up to a $39 late fee.
Yeah, that's just immoral. Now, Curtis, this legislation only applies to existing balances. It doesn't carry over into new purchases. Help me understand that.
Right. That is correct. I mean, the exception would be you get a brand new card, you apply for a new card, they cannot increase your rate in the first year on that account. So that's the one glaring exception. But generally, you know, there's no cap on rates, first of all, okay? So there's no maximum rate in this new card act that they can charge. And that's an important point to make. Secondly, they can raise your rates on purchases that you haven't made, in other words. So going forward, they can, you know, raise your rate on your account with 45 days written notice. That's the other big difference.
And it takes 60 days of being in arrears or being late on existing balances, right?
Correct. And so if you're 60 days late on, a, you know, you've got a current balance on there that you've been, let's say you've been making the minimum payment on. So that's an important thing. Now, even if they raise your rate on an existing balance, if you're 60 days late, if you pay on time for 6 months in a row or 6 billing cycles, then they have to restore your rate.
So you're reset. You're back in whole.
Right, right.
Okay.
So
Curtis, are you expecting that interest rates are going to go up?
Well, I predicted that rates would increase on card ratings. We do the survey for the New York State Banking Department every quarter. And leading up to when the president signed this bill into law back in last May of 2009, I predicted rates would rise close to 15% on average. And, you know, a lot of people thought I was kind of scoffed at me, I'm sure, and thought I was an alarmist. But indeed, we just put out our most recent rate report, and rates are pretty darn close to 15%, you know, 14.5%, 14.75%. So we've already seen rates tick up, you know, 1.5, 2 percentage points just in the last since basically, you know, last summer. I do think rates are going to continue to rise, but I don't want to, you know, I don't want to press the panic button too much. I don't think, some people have said, you know, rates are going to double over time. I don't think that's going to happen, but I do think they're gradually going to continue to rise. Moreover, the prime rate at some point probably will go up, and that's another interesting exception, Chuck. Variable rate cards, which almost every card now is a variable rate card, if the prime rate rises, your card rate will still go up.
Yeah. So, Curtis, in effect, this legislation was designed to protect consumers, but it's going to cost the card issuer some money, so they're going to get it back in raising rates. It's really not protecting them in a sense that it's not, the card's not going to cost them any less, is it?
Well, you make an interesting point, and a point that I agree with, and that is, you know, this legislation was supposed to help us, you know, as Americans, you know, keep more money in our pocketbooks or our purses. And in fact, I would argue that it's not long term, is not going to have that impact, because it's going to hit the industry. You know, analysts expect, you know, to the tune of billions of dollars a year in lost revenue. Well, you can bet your bottom dollar, Chuck, that they're going to figure out a way to offset that lost revenue.
Well, Curtis, I'm not going to make that bet with you, because I'm on your side of this perspective. When we come back, I want to talk about how this new law is going to cost cardholders more. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be back with Curtis Arnold, CEO of CardRatings.com.
It's unlike anything you've ever experienced. Crown Financial Ministries is proud to introduce God Provides, a new film learning experience featuring Golden Globe nominee Dean Jones.
What if God told me to do something I did not understand?
Through epic storytelling, this series of six short films presents timeless illustrations of God's never-failing ability to provide for His people. See the hand of God at work in engaging biblical stories that remain true even today in making life decisions. With each film, you'll receive a companion guide with discussion questions and activities to use with your family or a group. God Provides is available now at crown.org or by calling 1-800-722-1976. To learn more about the films, visit crown.org/God Provides.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. My guest today is Curtis Arnold, CEO of CardRatings.com. Curtis, when we left off, you were going to identify for us the five new ways that the Credit Card Act of 2009 is probably going to end up costing cardholders some more money. So let's go over those. What are your top five?
Sure. You know, these are new fees, new revenue sources that the card industry is going to try to tap into. One of these that we're already seeing is a brand new fee that we've never seen before. It's called an inactivity fee. And, you know, we've got one issuer that, and I don't mind naming names, but, you know, Fifth Third Bank, that on some of their customers, if you don't use your account for a year, they'll charge you, I think it's like a $19 inactivity fee. Secondly, another major issuer, Citibank, has a fee, inactivity fee related to this, but theirs is a little bit different twist in that you have to spend at least, on some of their accounts anyway, at least $200 a month, you know, which is, $2,400 a year, or you get dinged with a fee. So basically, you know, a quasi-inactivity fee that they're experimenting with. And this, Chuck, is a monkey-see, monkey-do industry. You know, I've covered it for over a decade. So one major issuer does comes up with some new wrinkle. It's pretty much a given fact that others are going to follow suit.
Okay, I want to ask you about the inactivity fees, because I've read somewhere that some of the really good customers are going to get punished, and I would consider myself one of them. I don't mind telling our audience that I carry one credit card. I pay off my balance every month. I work very hard to never pay any interest, and I enjoy the benefits of that card. Larry Burkett, our late co-founder, he carried a credit card. And if you use them wisely, they can be a good thing. But does this legislation allow the banks who issue the card to charge you money if you don't use it to their desire?
Well, the short answer is there's no restriction on that type of a fee. And quite honestly, Chuck, there's no limit to the number of new fees that they can come up with. I mean, it's pretty much left up to their creativity. And one thing I've learned about this industry over the years is they're pretty creative when it comes to revenue.
Yeah. Now, Curtis, isn't it true that about 60% of all cardholders pay off their balance in full every month?
Well, that is a stat. I mean, you see different numbers, but that is a stat you hear pretty often. So a lot of us, Chuck, it's kind of a misnomer, but a lot of us are managing, and I suspect your listeners in particular, credit responsibly. And so it's not like all of us are slaves to our credit card, which is, you know, commonly told in the media,
right,
just to sell newspapers, et cetera.
All right. So what's another way this legislation is going to cost the cardholders some money? What about the people who are paying interest on these monthly balances?
Sure. You know, I think if you look at default rates, and what that is, it's also called a penalty rate. And basically, default rates are still going to be around. And so some of your listeners may have, if they've written a payment where the check's bounced, if they have made a late payment, there's different things that can trigger a default or a penalty rate. But they're going to still be around, and those default rates are steep. You know, you get up, you know, 25, 30-plus percent range. And what we've seen is default rates in our surveys on cardratings.com, that they're ticking up, in some cases, even higher than your purchase rates. So it's almost a thing where the consumers who misuse their credit cards are going to pay through the nose for the rest of us who use credit responsibly, and they're going to pay double or triple what they maybe have paid in the past.
Yeah, so the card companies are not going to be able to just arbitrarily raise your rate unless you're behind 60 days, but if you are behind or late, they can really still get to you, can't they?
They can, and I guess that was the point that I was trying to make. You made it more eloquently than I did. But, yeah, and so basically, if the triggers there are that, you know, the things that trip you up are not as bad as they were, but God forbid if you do trip up, you're going to pay through the nose if you do that, and they're really going to stick it to you.
Okay, let's go to number three. What's the third way that they can stick it to you?
Well, you've got another interesting new fee that's been introduced, and this is on reward cards, Chuck, and a lot of your listeners may use reward card. They pay off their balance in full, and they're not paying any finance charges, and they may feel good about themselves and, you know, pat themselves on the back, and that's good. But we've seen a couple of new issuers experimenting with the fee where if you pay late, they basically hold your reward points hostage.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Yeah, for lack of a better
word. Now you're talking to me. I don't want to lose my rewards.
Well, and this is a fee, again, if you pay late, so they're going to hit you with the late fee. But also on top of that, they're going to hit you with a new fee that, and there's a couple of issuers experimenting. They're all not doing this yet, but again, I think more will, where basically you have to, it's called a reinstatement fee, I think is what one of the issuers is calling it, where to get those reward points where you can redeem them and use them for an airline ticket or what have you, you've got to pay that reinstatement fee in addition to the late fee to be able to redeem those points. So they've kind of got you between a rock and a hard place because they know you want those points and to be able to redeem those points.
Curtis, I know the legislation also allows for foreign transaction fee hikes. I don't think that's going to be a major issue with our listeners, but this idea of fees for balance transfers and cash advances, tell me, what can they do in that area?
Well, that's a good question. Balance transfer fees in particular have gone through the roof. And so a few years ago, we had a lot of cards with no fees. Now they're as high as 5% in some instances with no caps.
So they're going to try to shut down some of this card juggling that's going on.
Big time, big time.
Well, I want to continue this conversation, Curtis. If you'll hold on, we got to take a break. I'm Chuck Bentley. You're listening to Money Life. We'll be right back.
The price of higher education has skyrocketed. According to a recent Gallup survey, families spend almost $15,000 per student per year of college, and many students often spend years just trying to decide which degree they need to pursue. Wouldn't it be better to help your child figure out what they need to study before they arrive on campus? You can, with the Career Direct Complete Guidance System from Crown Financial Ministries. Unlike other assessments that only examine one or two areas of career selection, Career Direct analyzes personality, interests, skills, and values. Your child can use it to explore career options and find the one God has uniquely gifted them for. Over 150,000 people of all ages have benefited from Career Direct. Check it out at careerdirectonline.org and get a free personality ID profile. That's careerdirectonline.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. My guest today is Curtis Arnold, the founder and CEO of CardRatings.com and a dear friend of this ministry. Curtis, obviously, if you're into juggling balances and transferring from card to card, you're going to get whacked pretty good. So be very careful of those new fees, right?
Yeah, watch those balance transfer fees big time, because they've gotten considerably worse and higher in the last 12 to 18 months. So what you want to look for, I mean, it can still work for you, but be very careful. In particular, you know, like I said, there are some issuers experimenting with 5% fees with no caps. It used to be all, you know, pretty much 3% fees. There's still a lot of 3% fees, but most of those have no caps. If you can find one with a $100 cap or so, then that can be a good offer, but those are pretty rare. And there's actually one or two offers that have no transfer fee on cardratings.com, but again, very rare. Credit unions, smaller banks tend to have better offers and lower fees when it comes to these balance transfer offers. There are still are 0% offers out there, Chuck, but the length of time used to be, you know, 12 months, 18 months has diminished. So a lot of these offers now are 6 months. We were even seeing some at 3 months.
Curtis, one of the things in this legislation that I personally am excited about is that statements now have to show how long it's going to take to pay off the balance making minimum monthly payments. I'm in favor of that, but some people are going to be shocked. When will they start seeing that on their new statements?
That is a great point, Chuck. I'm also excited about that. They should start seeing that on their next statement. And basically what it is, Chuck, is it will show if you make that minimum payment, which a lot of us are making, if you're carrying a balance, how many years or decades that it's going to take you to pay off that balance in full, and what you will have paid in interest charges over the course of that time. So this is a great thing. I kind of equate it to a Surgeon General's warning for credit cards.
Yeah, it is very much needed. And I know that you've put together a very extensive guide to help credit card holders understand this new legislation. We're going to post that at crown.org, and for people who want to find you, they can find you at cardratings.com. Curtis, thanks for being our guest today.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me back, Chuck.
Now, many of you just heard that you're going to get a credit card statement and find out how long it will take you to pay off that balance if you continue to make minimum monthly payments. In some cases, you're going to learn that you're going to be paying on that balance for decades. In some cases, it's going to be longer than your mortgage payment. And I cannot urge you enough to do something about it. Don't continue to waste money like that. I'm here to help you. This ministry's here to help you. I can't urge you enough to go to crown.org today. Get a copy of the Money Map, and let's get started getting you in better financial shape. You've been listening to Money Life Weekend. I'm Chuck Bentley, and we'll be back again next week.